welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
A wonderful God. So how many of y'all know we serve a wonderful God? Don't fool me now. If you know we serve a wonderful God, can you give him a wave offering in this house? This is the last night of revival. And sad reality is, some of us need more revival than others. I look out in this audience, some of us look like we need to be resuscitated. I had a long day too. I'm a bivocational pastor. I spent the first 3 hours of this morning at a quarterly supervisors and directors meeting. So I'm just as tired as y'all, but I came with an expectation that God was going to do something on tonight. And I'm not going to hold you long, because if we get out at the right time, I can make it to Delaware Avenue and get a 12 count and a half and half. Don't judge me. Amen, amen, amen. We give honor to the Spirit of the Lord that is in this place, to Pastor Campbell, to the officers, Deacon Dix, all the officers and both churches, preachers who are in the pews, to the guy who introduced me, who is no stranger to the Church of the Redeemer, my twin brother. I thank God for him and for the introduction. There's a lot of familiar faces in here. I'm glad to see you. Glad to see you on this Wednesday night. I see Sister Kimberly. She don't know me, but I know her. Because I work for the KUA, KUA 9. That's a great thing, a wonderful thing. She helps so that I can keep a job. So we do thank God for familiar faces. Let me just do this now so that I don't forget. St. Paul, stand up so we can recognize you. Amen. Amen. Thank God for you all being here tonight to push your pastor. If I don't get it right tonight, I promise I'll get it right on Sunday. Genesis chapter 35. Let me not forget. My older sister's in the house too. She's a member of St. Paul. My mother's back there. Sitting in the back because my daughter would not make it in the front. But my daughter's back there too. So we do thank God for that. Genesis chapter 35. I prayed to God that he would give me a word to say on this last night of revival. And I believe that this is what the Spirit would say to the church on tonight. Genesis chapter 35, beginning at verse 1. Genesis chapter 35, beginning at verse 1. I ask that you stand to your feet when you have it. If you don't have it, please stand for the reading of God's word. Maybe someone will be friendly. Everybody that can stand is standing. Amen. Who would ever think you'd have to ask somebody to share their Bible with you in church? I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads like this. God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and settle there. Make an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, that I may make an altar there to God who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone." That's enough. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Amen. For the time that is ours, with your prayers and your amens, I just want to preach from the subject, it's time for a reset. It's time for a reset. This is revival, right? Yeah. So it's time for a reset. John, you know, growing up in our household, one of our favorite pastimes was playing video games. We've had every game system in our house. Atari, Nintendo, Sega Genesis, PlayStation, Game Boy, Xbox, and Wii. We've had almost every game system. Even now, I still play NBA 2K or Madden with my son. He still's not good enough to beat me, but I make him think that he's gonna win in the beginning. But on one particular day, me and my son were playing Madden, and for the first time in his life, he was actually winning at halftime. But as the game went to the halftime screen, the Lord decided to have favor on me. The game froze. Chris, I knew I wasn't going to come back from this one. But the Lord looked out, and he said he didn't want to make the father look bad in front of the son. And so we stood there for a minute waiting to see if the screen would unfreeze. But I recognized, because I've been here before, that this screen was not going to unfreeze. I said to him, "Son, we got to hit reset." He was upset. He was frustrated because he was winning. So to hit reset meant that we had to start over again. I'm glad you're with me in here tonight. I was in a losing situation.
They should have ordered them mics when I told them to.
my home. So Jacob, he conspired with his mother so that he could get the blessing. He got it, and now he has to flee because his brother was looking for him. So Jacob flees to his uncle's Laban house, and on the way there, he has a dream of angels ascending and descending, and he names that place Bethel. Jacob and Laban developed a relationship based on trickery and scheming, but Jacob tricked Laban, and then he had to flee from his uncle now. And as a result, he returns back and reconciles with his brother Esau. And then Jacob finds himself wrestling with an angel at the Jabbok River and finally comes to find out that his daughter Dinah has been raped by Shechem, the Hivite, and leading her brothers to seek revenge. Jacob's life has hit a downward spiral. Everything is chaotic. Everything is confused. Everything is upside down. Your life will always be in chaos when you are outside of the will of God. And I know, you know, we live in this day where people want to go see the life coaches and go talk to this one to try to get a prescription for how to make their life better. You trying to leap, you trying to jump, you trying to do all these different things. But if you want to be where God has planned and destined for you to be, you got to learn how to be in the will of God. That's the safest place to be, in the will of God. And the good news is that even when life has become chaotic, even when life has become messed up and has turned upside down, we can hit the reset button.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I know that somebody in here can testify to the fact that you've been in a dry place before. If you've never been there, keep on living, because one day you're going to hit a dry spot. And let me tell you about dry spaces. The only one that can get you out of a dry place is the Lord himself. Come here, Ezekiel. He said, Lord, can these bones live? You know, Lord, that sometimes he has to speak a word over us to get us back to a place where we're alive again. I say this all the time. Too many people are just existing and not living. You're existing, you're here, you're breathing, you get up in the morning, you get dressed, and all you do is just exist. But we need more people, especially those who are children of the Lord, who are living out their fullness and their potential to serve the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen.
So we serve a God who, even when we forget the promises that we make, and even when we break promises with God, we serve a God who is a promise keeper. I wish I was in the right house today. Somebody that can testify to the fact, I said, Lord, if you get me out of this, I won't go back again. But you went back anyhow, but he still forgave you. He still loved you. He still blessed you. He still kept. Do I have any real people in this house tonight that can say, I've been there. I made the mistake. You wasn't there when I got saved the 10th time. So, thank God that even though we waver and we change, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so there's a couple things I think we can glean from the life of Jacob as we hit the reset button. First of all, if you're going to hit the reset button, you have to first check your connection. Because sometimes it's not that the game is just frozen, but sometimes the cord can be loose in the back. And so you got to check the connection to make sure that the power cord is plugged into the system. If I was in another church, they'd be shouting and doing cartwheels right now. Because some of y'all can testify to the fact that sometimes you have lost your connection. God spoke to Jacob in verse 1 And for several years, Jacob had lingered 30 miles away from Bethel and had paid dearly for his disobedience. But now the Lord spoke to him and told him to go to Bethel and settle there. Jacob already knew that Bethel was God's appointed place for him and for his family, according to Genesis 31 and 13. But he had been slow to obey. Partial disobedience is still disobedience. We have to learn how to move when God says move. Too many of us, I grew up in a household where my mom only had to speak one time. She only had to speak one time before, because if she had to speak more than once, in your spirit, you'd be praying, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Jacob was slow to obey. The Lord was telling him, like he said in Revelations 2 and 5, remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works. The further you get from the place God has assigned you to, the lower God's voice becomes. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13, 5, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. But just because God is with you doesn't automatically mean that God is speaking to you. Y'all know. You've been in the house with somebody. You know when you did something wrong? They're present, but they're not speaking. You know, I wish I had a brother in the house that got the cold shoulder before. Don't mistake God's physical presence and think that because he is there, that he's going to speak. So he was speaking to God. God finally spoke back. If God is going to start speaking again, you have to make up in your mind that wherever the Lord has told me to go, I'm going to go. Whatever the Lord has told me to do, I'm going to do. But you also have to take in the connection because Jacob heard from God. He finally responded. He then could begin to get things in order. Notice Jacob had built an altar on the property that he had bought near Shechem and called it God, the God of Israel, according to Genesis 33 and 20. But God wasn't pleased with that altar because he wanted him worshiping back at Bethel, the house of God. Let me help y'all. And this is for those people who feel like I don't have to go to church. There are some things that you get when you come to church that you can't get at home. Okay. Let me put it like this. It would make no sense for me, Deacon Hayes, to leave here tonight and go to 24th in Oregon to McDonald's expecting a 12 count. I may get some nuggets, but McDonald's nuggets and Chick-fil-A nuggets are two different types of nuggets. I mean, I'm not trying to help Chick-fil-A or Popeyes make no more money than they already made off us. But I know what I want, and I understand that in order for me to get what I want, I got to go to the place that has it. Some of y'all want deliverance. You want healing, but it ain't going to happen at Bedside Baptist. You got to get off your behind and go to the church house. See, proximity is important when doing the work of the Lord. The Lord reminded Jacob of his desperate situation over 20 years ago and how he had delivered him and blessed him at Bethel. At Bethel Church is where Jacob had made some vows to the Lord, and now it was time to fulfill what he had told the Lord he was going to do. You ought to grow to a place in your life where you're not just giving the Lord lip service. I'm not going to linger there because this is not my church. But we'll talk about it on Sunday, St. Paul. Y'all said linger? All right. There's a whole lot of people, Reverend Campbell, who say, Pastor, whatever you need me to do, I'll do. In fact, there are some people, watch this, who only serve in ministry when big time events come. Haven't seen you usher all year long. But here come auxiliary day. Haven't seen you in church in the last 3 months, but here come a church meeting. Listen, I'm going to say what I got to say because I'm from South Philly and I ain't never been scared. And so please understand, if you choose to meet me after the benediction, I am licensed to carry. So we have to do, and we just were dealing with this on this past Sunday, talking about a charge to keep, that God has called us to do a work. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We got to do a work. And too many people just want to be church members and not be disciples. Tell you all the time. Church members are concerned about bylaws. Disciples are concerned about souls. And maybe that's why the kingdom is not advancing, because we keep spending so much time worrying about bylaws and this practice and this procedure and not worrying about souls being saved. People killing themselves out here. People are dying, and we're concerned about church business. We got to be concerned about the kingdom of God's business. All right. Let me keep pushing. Thank you for having me here this time. If I never see you again. So you got to check your connection. But then also, you got to clean the house. After Jacob decides that he's going to go back home, he says it's housekeeping time. It's not enough just for Jacob to go to Bethel. But the Lord told Jacob for him and his house to go. You know, it don't make sense for you to get up on Sunday and go to church and leave people in the house. Yeah, right. no way that I can leave people in the house knowing that I'm going to the church house to get what I need. There's no way I can believe in Jesus and have people in my house who don't believe and know that if they don't believe, they're going to die and go to hell. Because I know some people don't like to hear this, but you do know that hell is real. And people are going to hell. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Because if not, we was going to be signing a whole lot of people up for rice. But the Lord told Jacob and his whole house, you got to go back to Bethel. Growing up in my house, Saturday morning was housekeeping day. You was going to get up early in the morning. And we all was going to clean. And I realized as I got older, the reason why my mom told me to get up and clean. Because even though it was her house, because I lived in the house, I had a responsibility to the house. We need more people who are a part of the house to be concerned about the house. If I'm praying, my whole house is praying. If I'm giving, my whole house is giving. If I'm fasting, the whole house is fasting. Joshua 14:15 says, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father serves that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. Jacob had a made up mind that we all going to get out of this place. We all going to go where the Lord has told us to go. Because he realized that his disobedience didn't just affect him, but it affected his whole house. But he said, clean the house. But then he also said, put away the strange gods. And you know why some of us can't put away the strange gods? Because we struggle with these famous seven words that most churches struggle with. We never did it that way before. We always had communion on the third Sunday. But where is it saying in the Bible you got to have communion on the third Sunday? He said, as often. Okay. Start the car, Pete. Jacob's family and servants still had some of the pagan images and charms they had brought from Syria, not to mention the spoils of Shechem. Why is it that we always carry baggage of old situations into new situations? Think about some of the methods and traits that you've carried into your parenting style that you would never do because you disliked when you were a child and you had to experience it. Recall some of the past relationships and the things that were pointed out to you for why it did not work. Now ask yourself, am I still guilty of these things? There is a natural tendency to cling to that which we have become conditioned with, whether it be good or bad. But in the text, the Bible says the spoils had to be buried before they could really meet God at Bethel. And just like them, some of us have got some things that we've got to bury if we're going to get to a place of a reset. Do you not realize that there are some things that are holding you back from experiencing God in a new way? Are you so comfortable where you are that you feel like you can't grow anymore with God? Do you feel like you're that advanced in your prayer life that you can't go deeper with God? And the sad reality is that the more you come to church, for some of us, it's so easy to get caught up and stuck and complacent where we are, because church no longer becomes an experience, it becomes a routine. But that is a trick of the enemy, because God is always trying to go to a deeper place with his children. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. You ought to always want more of God. You ought to always want to see God in a new light, experience him in a new way. Some things you got to release. And I know you're still waiting because you feel like the game is going to unfreeze and the data will be won't be lost. But let me give you some words from Fantasia. Sometimes you got to lose to win again. Church, the hardest thing to do is to release what feels good. But you got to understand, if it does not align with the will of God for my life, I got to let it go. Relationships, habits, items, they all represent strange gods in your life. And let me tell you something, maybe the reason why you can't get what God has for you is because you keep allowing the same things to stand in your way. I don't feel like starting over. I don't feel like it. You know how long it took me to get to this point? How long it took me to get to this level? But here's the thing about hitting reset. Ah, thank you, Jesus. When you hit reset, even though you have to start over, you have already been this way before. And so now, because you've hit reset, you know where the pitfalls and where the opposition is waiting for you at. So you know how to avoid and jump over and duck under and dive so that you don't get caught the same way this time that you got caught last time. And I wish I had a witness in this house that could testify to the fact that I'm hitting reset. I know I've been stuck. I know I feel like I've been frozen. But guess what? I make up in my mind that I'm going to do what the Lord has called me to do. I'm going to go where he's called me to go. I made up in my mind, I'm tired of being stuck. I'm tired of being complacent. I'm tired of being in this place where I'm at with God. I want to know God in a new way. I want to experience him in a new life. Oh, that I might know God and know him in the power of his resurrection and in his suffering. Is there anybody in here that can say, I need a reset? And let me tell you something. When you hit reset, it's starting all over again with God. And I'm so glad that God gives us these promises that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Is there anybody in here that wants to hit reset? I want to start over anew with God. I'm like David, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Blot out all my transgressions. Purge me with hyssop. Cleanse me. Wash me, Lord. I need you to do it, God. And let me tell you why you can hit reset with God. Because he's a God, not just of a second chance, but he's the God of another chance. Because some of us can testify to the fact we blew our second chance a long time ago. In fact, we've had so many chances, we can't keep count. But thank God that he don't keep count like some people do. Because you know, it's some people in your life who keep a tally and a tab on you. But God says, when you hit reset, when you go back to Bethel, to the place where you first met me. When you go back to the place where you first met me, this is why you should never forget your testimony. Don't ever forget where the Lord met you at. Because I know we keep singing, I came to Jesus just as I... No, no, no. Jesus came to me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Is there anybody can testify that it was his love that lifted me? It was God's love that lifted me. When nothing else could help, God's love, it lifted me. I'm done. I'm finished. You can reset because the Savior reset. See, because even though you go through some moments where you feel like you're being crucified, go through some moments where you feel like you've been buried, thank God that God will use a burial time to restore you so that when Sunday morning comes, you can get up with all power in your hands. He's the God of a reset. Because he's the God of the resurrection. And guess what? No matter what you've done, no matter where you are right now, if God has spoke something for your life, it's got to come to pass. Huh? And you know why I get excited about that, Bert? Because guess what? I know I should have been disqualified a long time ago. But the fact that he keeps getting me up every day, even when I don't feel like it, because sometimes I just want to stay in the bed and keep the covers over my head. But the fact that he gets me up every day just reminds me that there's still more work for me to do, that he still loves me, that he still has a plan for me. He reminds me that the race is not given to the swift nor the strong, but to he that endures until the end. Church, stand up on your feet. This may be the last night of services, but it's not the last night of revival. Because revival, in our contemporary sense, is a gathering of services where we come together and we hear a fresh word. But in the Bible, revival was long periods of time. Because here's the thing. Sometimes it takes a long time for God to filter out some of the junk and the confusion and the mess that's inside of us. And here's the thing. If you want God to revive you, you got to first be willing. Some of us say, oh Lord, revive me. Oh God, rekindle my fire. Oh God, reset me, restart me. And we say it, but then we don't do what's necessary. Let me tell you how you get revival. Chronicles says that if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You can't be revived if you keep trying to live in wicked stuff. me tell y'all something. Guess what? The same way you come to church is the same way devils and demons and imps come to church too. And this is why you got to be prayerful, because you don't know whether or not you're sitting with a devil in disguise. Keep looking at me. Just look straight. Just look straight. Just look straight. Because guess what? The same way there are people who are never going to come into the house of God and going to die and go to hell, there's the same way there are some people who come to church every Sunday and going to die and go to hell from a pew. Because your life has got to be changed. So, if you want to be revived, I want you just to search your heart right now. Search your heart right now. Look within and begin to just pray and ask God, what are the areas in my life where I need to see a change? Y'all sound good, but can y'all give me a wonderful change, please? Because that's where it starts. A changing of your mind. If you can change how you think, because the mind is the control center. That's why the enemy is after your mind. If you can change how you think, then you'll change how you see things. You'll change how you'll behave, how you'll act. You'll change what comes out of your mouth. Come on, just begin to ask the Lord to do it. Lord, change me. A wonderful change has come over me. A wonderful change has come over. He can do it even right now. Oh, he changed me. He changed my life complete. And now I sit at his feet.